Here we go. It's another big week in the NFL for the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is the Steelers Wire Podcast, powered by USA Today Sports. Now, your host, Ryan O'Leary, and Steelers Wire editor, Kurt Popejoy.
Week one is upon us. Steelers, Giants. That's a Monday night football game, 7:15. Are you ready for that, Kurt? Ready for some football?
It seems like it's been so long since we've had football. I can't wait. I cannot wait.
You ready to stop covering the practice squad? You know, enough about the practice squad. Let's get on to some football.
Yeah, and especially practice that you know, there isn't really practice. There's no good reports. The practice reports look like a redacted FBI report or something. They won't say anything.
Top secret information. Now, you can't know. Nobody's allowed to know anything. It's wild. It is wild.
Yeah.
You know, I think a great place to start here, and I do want to talk about, you know, the Steelers 53-man roster and their depth chart, but, you know, some pretty big news has broken over the last couple of days. The Steelers locking up their all-pro defensive end, Cam Hayward, and, a big move. I've seen some stuff on the Steelers wire about how you guys, you know, Cam said that he was kind of bracing for this to end. He thought this would, you know, maybe be his last season. That's not going to be the case. What do you think about the deal, both from Hayward's standpoint and the team?
Well, I think for the team, it was great. I mean, you've got a guy that probably top three, top four interior defensive lineman in the league, and the contract's big, no doubt. But comparatively speaking, it's not a deal breaker by any means. You know, $75 million in total money. You get the guy that probably best represents the Steelers on and off the field to stay on the team for five more years. Yeah, I think it's great. I'm glad they didn't go into the season without a deal. You know, Pittsburgh's pretty hardcore about once the season starts, we don't negotiate. So he would have gone into the year as kind of a lame duck. You know, he'd have known and took that 10-hour conversation with Art Rooney on Sunday to make this work. But I think it's great. I'm not too worried. You know, a lot of people are worried about what this is going to mean for next year because Pittsburgh's already over the cap and they've got 16 more unrestricted free agents, all that stuff. I'm not even worried about that right now. They got probably their second best defender under contract in a year where they can contend for a Super Bowl. Don't worry about next season when we haven't even played one game this season yet.
Sure, and you got guys like maybe T.J. Watt and some of these other guys coming down the pike. But you know, it is nice to see Pittsburgh investing in their defense because this unit, as I start to look at this specific Week One matchup with the Giants, this unit is just it's just nasty. This defense, and they got names. You look at Hayward. But he's just one of so many names that stick out on the Steelers defense. And when you start looking at them against this Giants team that seems to have all these question marks, especially on the offensive line, Joe Judge doesn't even want to name his starter at center. And maybe that's part of that, you know, top secret information you were talking about, Kurt, earlier. The Giants just, you know, it looks like specifically on the offensive line for the Giants, they have a bunch of guys that haven't been playing together that long or just haven't played football for that long in the NFL. And then you got this ball hawking, attacking Steelers defense coming at a second year quarterback with an unproven offensive line. I just look at what a weapon the Steelers have in this defense. And I think you're going to see it on Monday night.
I don't think that the Giants are going to know where they're coming from. I think that when you've got a bunch of guys that haven't played much football and haven't really played much football together, Cam Hayward can end up being a diversion when it's all said and done. Sure. They might be so focused on him and T.J. Watt, and you could end up with Devin Bush and Vince Williams doing all the blitzing up the middle. You know, maybe they haven't named a center yet because none of them want the job. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't think they don't want it, Kurt, this week.
Yeah, maybe they're just like, no, I'll wait till next week to start. You know, that's fine. But, you know, they're going to disguise blitzes. They're going to bring Mike Hilton as a cornerback in off the edge. You know, they're going to bring guys because really what they have to do, and I give the Giants credit for the fact that Saquon Barkley is an amazing talent. I don't think he can be the guy that's going to balance that offense enough to keep the Steelers out of the backfield on passing downs. I'm just not sure that he can do that. I think the Steelers have enough guys on the backside with Terrell Edmonds and Minka Fitzpatrick that Barkley's not just going to run wild. He may have a 100-yard gain, no doubt, but the third downs are still going to be there, and there's going to be third and sevens and third and eights where Daniel Jones is just going to have to drop back and throw the football, and when that happens, he's going to never know when he looks up where guys are going to be coming from or who's coming after him. It's going to be pretty fun to watch because, you know, like Hayward said yesterday, we're tired of hitting each other in practice. We're ready to hit somebody else.
Yeah, let me correct you, Kurt. It's going to be fun to watch if you follow the Steelers. I don't know if it's going to be fun to
watch. Well, there you go. There you go. Yeah, it's not going to be fun for everybody.
Yeah, specific to the Steelers depth chart and their roster, I saw Deontay Johnson, you know, the young, exciting receiver, I think is going to be a starter next to Juju Smith-Schuster, so that's good news. Mm-hmm. Anything else stick out about the depth chart, guys that are in the mix, maybe even the final 53-man roster? Anything stick out to you? I know you've been reporting a lot on that stuff.
Well, there were a couple of releases that I think surprised people. I think that Ryan Switzer was a guy that the fans had sort of given up on, but the team seemed to still want to give another shot to. So him not making the 53 was a surprise. Dan McCullers, defensive tackle that had just been stealing from the team for 5 years. Nobody knew why he was still on the roster, finally got released. I think they said he went from his salary was paying him, I don't know, $80,000 a week, and now he's on the practice squad. So he took quite a pay cut to go backwards there. But, you know, I mean, and we talk about the Giants not wanting to pick a center, but Mike Tomlin's still holding the cards close about who his starting right tackle is going to be on Sunday. So, you know, he put an or on the depth chart between Zach Banner and Chukwuemeka Okorafor. So we're not 100%. I suspect we're going to hear something today final. My money's been on Zach Banner since the beginning, so I think he'll start. I think that the wide receiver depth chart is kind of misleading. You know, I know that Deontay Johnson and Juju are the starters, but I know also too that Randy Feakner wants to get Juju inside in the slot. So they're going to move him inside a lot. That's going to give Chase Claypool and James Washington. They're going to run a lot of three wide sets. So I'm really curious to see when they move Smith-Schuster in at slot, who kind of lines up outside opposite him. I'd like to say it's James Washington. I mean, he had most yards per catch, led the team in receiving yards last year, even with terrible quarterback play. I kind of look for him to be a starter in terms of how many snaps a game he gets, even if he's not. Yeah, but nothing too outrageous. I think Marcus Allen, the former Penn State safety, they converted him to inside linebacker, and he's now the number two inside linebacker in the rotation. I think Sean Davis being named the number two strong safety and free safety 2 days after he was added to the roster tells you a lot about how confident they are in the safeties on the team. So, but they know him, know his game. You know, he played for Pittsburgh before. So,
yeah,
nothing too crazy. You hate to see the fact that Jalen Samuels got bumped to number four on the depth chart at running back behind a rookie, Anthony McFarland. But I think he was the, you know, Samuels was the guy I kind of didn't expect to really make the team. So the fact that he's still on the team, I think, is a pretty good deal for him. But yeah, to be the fourth string running back on the Steelers means you're probably playing special teams, and that's about it.
That's Kurt Popejoy, editor of the Steelers Wire. We'll be right back.
Fantasy football is about proving that you are better than your friends.
Sit them, start them. These are the fantasy picks of the week.
It will kill me if this game ends in a tie.
I need this win. This game's pretty much done.
With Corey Bonini from TheHuddle.com.
Corey Bonini with TheHuddle.com here to talk to you about three fantasy options that I can't wait to play in week number one. Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback Gardner Minshew. He doesn't have a running game to speak of, and he's probably going to have to throw the ball a lot to keep Jacksonville even remotely close in this one. Volume alone should keep him in the number one range for quarterbacks, but it might not be pretty in terms of turnovers. Sticking with that same matchup on the other side of things, Marlon Mack. Jacksonville has lost just about everyone of note on defense in the last year or so. This was one of the best fantasy matchups for running backs last year, and one could make an argument that this team has regressed. Mack was good for 16 and 19 fantasy points respectively in PPR last year, and he's not even a receiving type back. Jonathan Taylor will take some touches, but Mack should be able to get his too. And the Seattle-Atlanta matchup has DK Metcalf poised to be one of the top receivers of the week. He scored twice last year against them, accounting for two of his seven touchdowns on the season. Seattle should be a little bit better on the back end, but rookie cornerback AJ Terrell will make his first pro appearance, and Metcalf can probably have his way with him. In week number one, don't get too cute. Trust the guys who you drafted highly. Don't try to take too many gambles, and take chances where it's smart. Continuity probably will be the biggest factor in success entering the season.
For more fantasy football tips and advice, check out TheHuddle.com, part of the USA Today Sports Network.
You know, I've noticed, it's funny because I've talked to Coach Randy and Coach Tomlin a little bit when we've done some two-minute drills against the defense. I've actually felt like the jelly kind of legs. Like, I felt nervous out on the practice field, which I've never felt before. Maybe not for a long time, but so I know if I'm nervous out there on the practice field right now, that the game's gonna be a different feeling. And so That I think is going to be the last hurdle in getting hit. You know, I've tried to talk TJ and some of those guys to just give me little bumps every once in a while, but no one will do it. But getting hit and calming the nerves are going to be big ones for me.
It's very obvious that Big Ben is back this year. That's a huge change. And I think for me, I'm finding myself as not someone who, you know, normally follows the Steelers all the time, being a guy that lives out here in New Hampshire. You know, I forget how good the Steelers are going to be if their offense and their quarterback play is just a little bit better because of how good the defense is. And this addition of Big Ben to the offense is, you know, it does seem to catapult them into the conversation of AFC contender for sure. And it's going to come down to how Big Ben plays and how healthy he is and how good he does feel when he does finally walk out there for the first time in a while.
Yeah. And how much does he feel like he needs to do? You know, I mean, sure. Up until last season, the Steelers offense has had to kind of carry the weight of a pretty mediocre defense. He hasn't had a chance to play with this defense yet. You know, in 2018, he led the league in passing basically by necessity because they were in shootouts every week. The run game couldn't be counted on, and he had to just throw it and throw it and throw it. Yeah, I get that he's nervous. I get all that. But I think he's going to love the fact that he's not going to be required to just keep running back out onto the field every four or five plays because his defense, you know, he's able to just get out there and play with the lead and you know, watch his defense get turnovers and give him short fields, and he doesn't feel like he needs to push the ball. I think, too, I know a lot of fans don't like to hear this, but I think that a full season of Ben Roethlisberger without Antonio Brown is going to be a good thing. I think he just became so dependent on Antonio Brown that anytime I need a play, I'm just going to throw it up and AB's going to get the football.
Sure.
And we saw that in 2017 especially. And, you know, 2018, he kind of split between Juju and Brown, but still when the game was on the line or he needed a play, it wasn't necessarily a great throw. It was just, I know if I throw it out there, AB will figure out a way to catch it, and I'm going to look great, and we're going to high five, and we're going to do that. This year, he's going to get to go out there and turn around, hand it off to James Conner, and he's got a great big tight end he can throw to now, and I think you're going to see probably better numbers from him, maybe percentage-wise, fewer interceptions. Not going to see the yards, but I think he's going to love the fact that he's not constantly having to put up 30 a game to keep his team competitive. I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know, what he can do. There are going to be games he's going to put 30 up, no doubt, but I think he's going to like the idea of not having to do that every week just to win eight games like they did in 2018.
Yeah, so. Sure. No, I hear exactly what you're saying. Like, you know, the Big Ben of old that I think back of maybe when, like you're saying, when the defense wasn't so good is, you know, that Big Ben that holds the football to the last second and takes a lick, right? Yeah. Or that guy that takes chances and throws the ball deep, throwing it up to AB, you know, and he's just not going to have to do that anymore. And a big reason is because his defense is ridiculous at taking the football away. I know they led the league in sacks last year, right, Kurt? They led the league in takeaways. And Daniel Jones led the league in fumbles lost, the quarterback for the Giants. So
yeah.
It just is, you know, the unproven offensive line, not to go back to this point, but the unproven offensive line, Daniel Jones' struggles with holding onto the football, him being a second-year player with no preseason, it just, this feels like a layup for the Steelers in week one. Yeah. I don't want to say that, but for me.
Don't say that.
You don't have to say that. No, that's not you. That's me.
No such thing.
That's not Kurt Popejoy saying it. That's me. I just feel like feels like it's setting up nicely for the Steelers. Let's put it that way. I can backtrack off that a little.
It'll be great to get a win right out of the gates. I mean, Pittsburgh is kind of notorious for playing down to their competition sometimes. That's sort of been a thing that Mike Tomlin has taken some heat for. He gets his teams up and gets them prepared to play the good teams, but against the bad teams, they have a tendency to come out flat, and then they're playing catch-up. We've seen it over the last three or four years. Games that they hadn't – well, last season, to end the season, you know, all they had to do was win one of those last games and they make the playoffs, and the team just came out, even the defense came out and just didn't want to play. And I have a feeling that they kind of recognize that the window to win is closing, that the salary cap next year, you know, there's gonna be a lot of new faces on this team next season. That I think I hope that the players take that to heart. I hope they look at this season as, we don't know how much longer Ben's going to play, because let's face it, Ben's in great shape, says his elbow feels better than it ever has, but
at the end of this season, he might, if they do well, he might reevaluate and say, you know what, I went out the way I wanted to, and it's Mason Rudolph's team going forward. And I hope they look at that as say, we can't take this season for granted because we don't know what next year is going to look like. So I have a lot of confidence in him to get off to a fast start. But until that, you know, that last second ticks off the clock, as a Steelers fan, you just have to assume anything can go wrong.
Anything else sticking out at you, Kurt, about this matchup? It's an interesting one. The Steelers and Giants, obviously, they play what? Once every 4 years or so. So this is their first time seeing them in quite a few years. It was a 2017 season opener won by Pittsburgh 20-12. But, you know, these are two different, completely different teams. Anything else sticking out to you specifically about the matchup?
You know, I think that Barkley, I think that when you have a player
gotta stop him.
That's as special as Saquon Barkley is, you have to account for him on every play. And I think that he's the kind of guy that when you have a hyper-aggressive defense like Pittsburgh, as I go back and sort of think about this game this week in terms of content I want to create and matchups and things like that, if I'm the Giants coaches, I look at that and go, how can I take advantage of that? How can I take advantage of the blitzing, you know, the tendencies of Pittsburgh to blitz from one side? And can I get Barkley out on some swing passes and some slip screens and things like that, where the Steelers are all just, you know, 11 guys coming up field and they catch him going that way and Barkley can be going the other direction. I think that that's where we saw that in 2018. We saw a defense that tried so hard to just be super aggressive when they were down and they pressed, and just week after week, you saw running backs just kind of abuse that. You know, they found ways to drop the ball. The other thing to think about too is that, you know, the Giants roster isn't great, but they do have some pretty good tight ends. Historically, Pittsburgh has struggled to defend the tight end. And so the middle of that defense, you know, that sort of seams, the seams in that intermediate range have always been a little bit vulnerable. We saw a little bit better last season with Minkah Fitzpatrick out there and Devin Bush out there, but there were still games last year where the tight end seemed to be the guy who could always find those spots. If the pass rush doesn't get there, there are going to be windows for Daniel Jones to throw in, and that those are always the two areas. Athletic running backs and athletic tight ends seem to have a way, you know, with good coaching, to find ways to make big plays. Maybe not like sustained drives. That was one thing last year with Pittsburgh. Even as great as they were last year, they gave up some long plays, and that's just that aggressive nature. You take that, you know, you trade that off for the fact that we're gonna get an interception, but maybe once in a while we're gonna give up a long pass play or whatever it may be, and you just have to balance all that out. But for me, it's all going to kind of start with Barkley. If the Giants can come out and establish him on the ground, which I'm kind of hopeful that the loss of Javon Hargrave isn't going to be that big. And I hope that having Vince Williams back in the starting lineup at inside linebacker will help with the run. But if they can put together some scoring drive right off the bat and show they can run the football, you know, anything can happen at that point. So I think Barkley has to be the focus. You shut him down, you force Daniel Jones to throw the ball, maybe in situations where he doesn't want to, and that plays right into Pittsburgh's hands at that point.
All right, coming up, we're going to look a little bit closer at the betting line of this game, Steelers at Giants, Monday Night Football. We'll be right back on the Steelers Wire podcast.
It's that time again for the line of the week. The inside track to the favorites, the underdogs, and the over-unders.
I think I want my money back.
Now, here are Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today's Sportsbook Wire.
Hello, I'm Eston McLaren of SportsbookWire.com and BetSlippin' Podcast, and I'm joined by Jeff Clark, my colleague at SportsbookWire.com and BetSlippin' Podcast. And here's what you need to know about the Week 1 matchup between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and New Orleans Saints. Tampa Bay is +145 on the money line, with New Orleans Saints favored at -176. Jeff, which side of that do you like?
I'm on the Saints. I'm on the favorites -3.5. I'm big about their offensive continuity. Their offensive line is going to be the hold up against what should be a pretty good Tampa Bay Buccaneers pass rush. I'm not sold in the Buccaneers secondary right now, and how can you not be sold in the passing attack of the Saints?
Hey, Tom Brady, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Rob Gronkowski, let's go. All-star underdog team +145, locking that in week one, a big upset in the NFC South. Check out Sportsbook Wire for more with all odds from BetMGM Sportsbook. Subscribe to BetSlippin' Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, Kurt, Steelers are giving away 5.5 points on the line for this game. And what's interesting is I have no idea how Vegas is weighing these road games you know, I know in a normal season you're going to give away some points on the road, obviously, but you know, obviously there's not going to be fans at the game in New York this, you know, on Monday night. So Steelers only have to cover 5.5. I like that number. I want to jump on the Steelers to cover that. What are you thinking?
Absolutely. I would take that. I would take that in a second. I think they're gonna win this game by at least a touchdown. So that's really not a worry for me at this point.
Sure.
I think they showed last year that if they can get a little bit of offense, they can close out games. So yeah, I'm not too worried about that line.
Now, I think the magic number with the over-under is usually around 50. We're seeing the game on Thursday night between the Chiefs and Texans way over that number. I think they're at like 54 or something for the over-under. This one's at 47.5. I mean, are you expecting you know, kind of a higher scoring game or a lower scoring kind of rock fight type of style here?
I think just in terms of the first week of the NFL season, I look for every game to be a little lower scoring.
Could be ugly, right?
No preseason. I mean, there could be some ugly football coming out of the gate.
Absolutely.
This week. I mean, these guys, you think about some of these guys haven't played meaningful football in a long time. And I just have a feeling that it's going to take a couple of weeks of playing to no crowd before these offenses. I think the defenses are always going to be an advantage, I think, anyway. So, yeah, I'm not looking for a big high scoring game. I mean, the Chiefs might be the exception. They seem to find a way to generate points no matter what. But yeah, I'm not looking for a high flying event here this Monday night. It's going to be kind of ugly. I think that you're going to see some field goals. I think that you're going to see some drive stall because guys are going to, you know, concentration. I mean, these guys just haven't taken live reps. You know, I won't be a bit shocked to see guys drop passes that you wouldn't expect to on sure. third downs and things like that, just because it's the first time they've had a guy running at them to hit them in months. And they're just, you know, everybody's a little tight. Everybody's going to be playing a little tight. It's almost like I said the other day, it almost feels like the whole league is starting, like you watch a game after a guy gets a serious injury and the game has to pause for a long time and everybody just kind of sits and waits. And then the game starts back up and you can tell for a few plays, everybody's a little hesitant, a little tentative. I feel like that's how the whole league's going to go to start the season.
I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. I think, you know, people listening to this might want to look at lines that are a little higher, look at the under, and also look at the first half under. You know, that first half, the teams coming out, I think it could be very low scoring early on in some of these games, as, like you said, that acclimation. There's got to be an acclimation period. We're not going to see a high-flying fireworks in a lot of these games, I think, in the first or second quarter.
No.
So, all right, Kurt, next week we get a game to break down. So that's going to be really fun.
Oh,
you know, we get to watch this game on Monday night, and
it's
then we get to
time.
Break it down. Yeah. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that. I'll catch you next week. All right,
thanks very much.
All right, thanks for joining us on the Steelers Wire podcast. We'll catch you next week.
This USA Today Sports podcast has been presented by USA Today's Sports Media Group and is available in your favorite podcast store. Make sure to subscribe for weekly updates, the latest fantasy picks from Corey Bonini, and the Huddle Podcast, Inside the Weekly Line with Sportsbook Wire's Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren, and the Bet Slippin' Podcast. We'll see you again next week.